Welcome to episode 12 of Discover Ocala, presented by Showcase Properties of Central Florida. I'm Valerie Daly, the presenter for this podcast. In this podcast, I visit with David Stevens and Angie Crawford of Seminole Feed. Let's learn more. Thank you guys so much for coming today. I know some people know that a little bit about Seminole and the fact that there's an actual feed mill in town, but I bet you a lot of people don't know. And so, David, you're running this whole shebang over there. Tell me a little history about Seminole Feeds and how it got started. It's been a staple in Marion County for years.
It has. So 1934, there were three entities that started a feed store, warehouse, a hardware store. And from there it grew. And one of the entities' son went into the service, which was OC branch, Croswell branch.
Okay.
When he came back, he went to school. Angie's alma mater, Auburn, if you will.
Oh, dear.
So he got his chemical engineering degree. And so citrus was big in Florida, mm-hmm. pastures, cattle, horses had not quite got here yet. So he wanted to open up a fertilizer plant. So at our current location, they built the fertilizer plant. And then things had rocked on and the horses had got here and they started mixing feed, just basically corn and oats and a fertilizer mixer. And led to 1968, the feed mill where we're currently at was built and started operation.
So you're currently where? Because people know you have a couple locations.
So our feed mill is on Tuscola Park.
Okay.
We have a retail store there. Then we have another one out here on West 40. And then we have another one in Bellevue.
You started with oats and corn. How did you grow?
So I'm going to let Angie talk a little bit towards that because she's been here longer than I have. But it started out basically the horse owners telling us mm-hmm. what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then as technology kind of advanced a little bit, then we got into using premixes where we added vitamins and trace minerals and started getting more balanced diets. And Larry Mack, which a lot of people know, worked mm-hmm. with us for years and years and years.
And his dad before him, you know, worked in that position as well as helping to formulate feeds. But once we started doing mixes commercially, we started working with the University of Florida and primarily Dr. Ed Ott.
Oh, yes.
And so he was world renowned for his nutrition expertise and helped us formulate all of our feeds. And because we're a fixed formula company, meaning we don't change our formulations, many of the formulations that we still have, we have feeds that are still reminiscent of those early feeds, the corn, oats, molasses, that are still based on Dr. Ott's formulations. Mineral packages have improved since then, but then we started manufacturing low starch feeds. In 96, we were the first company in the United States to manufacture low starch feeds. And that came from overseas. Company overseas asked us to manufacture for them. And we did that for about 12 years. And they decided they didn't want to be in the United States any longer and gave us the opportunity to change the formulations, Americanize them, add more fat to them, basically. And it really started taking off because we were kind of on the fat train. You know, everything was going higher fat at that mm-hmm. point in time. More research was happening to show how horses could really utilize fat well because it was a cool calorie. These feeds were fiber-based, so we were starting to see beet pulp and alfalfa meal and soy hulls being utilized in feeds more and more. And those are like the triune, they're the kale of fiber for horses. They're the best fibers available right now commercially to use in a horse feed. And so we were just seeing that happen, and it really changed the industry. You see lots of low-fat, low-starch feeds out there right now, high-fat, low-starch. because horses are able to use them better than the old traditional corn oats molasses.
So, David, how many people do you employ at the mill, and kind of what's the process? Do you make a certain type of feed each day, or are you operating 24/7? What's that look like?
So it's changed quite a bit. As Angie said, these low starch feeds come in. The mill used to produce probably 60,000 tons a year. Currently, we manufacture 28,000 tons a year.
That's a big drop.
It's a big drop. As the customer base changed, the products changed, the ingredients you use changed. It's different to make the feeds that we make today. So we buy all our single ingredients coming in bulk and or bagged. And then from there, we have three or four intermill pellets that we call them, that we make a pellet and we put it in a bin. And then when we make a feed, it will call for that pellet as an ingredient. Those pellets can contain vitamin trace minerals and things like that. We run 5 days a week, 10, 12, 14-hour shifts. We're running two shifts, but in today's world, you need to be more efficient. So we've gained efficiency, and so just one shift, and we work till we get it done.
Are your ingredients coming in on rail, or how do they get here?
Both rail and truck. Oats, soy hulls, barley come in on rail, and then wheat mid, soy hulls, soybean meal, alfalfa meal, they all come in on trucks.
And the rail's right there by the plant.
There by the plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. We've got a main spur, and then it splits off onto two spurs. That one used to go to the fertilizer plant, and the other one comes to the mill.
And so no more fertilizer.
No more fertilizer.
Okay.
The industry changed quite a bit. We can all remember when oranges were up in Orange Park,
yep,
south of Jacksonville. Freezes took care of that, and it kept moving south and south and got to I-4. And being in Tuscola, being in the city, probably not conducive for a fertilizer plant.
I see your trucks on the road, I-75. They're up and down. I've seen them in Miami. Where do you all distribute your feed?
We distribute as far north as Virginia and as far west as New Mexico.
Wow.
And then we do have some customers that are outliers, like in Nebraska, that have a ship racing horse operation that has a ship feed to them. We just opened some dealers in Oklahoma. We have a dealer that's in Miami that does a lot of exporting for us. So Guyana, the islands, some South and Central America.
The feed, I think, is stamped with when it was produced.
Correct.
And then what's the shelf life?
So traceability, just for information's sake, we put on there the time it was made, the date that it was made. We have lot numbers on there, bag numbers, and the bagger's initials. So from a traceability standpoint, we can trace it right back to the actual ingredient that arrived in our mill. So
that's impressive.
So that's impressive. You know, we're a medication aisle on a four-free mill. So there's nothing in there that's going to harm a horse either. So, you know, there's humans involved. It's not all perfect, but we want the most perfect product to go out that door so that when the customer sees it for the very first time, they'll see that we've put a lot of heart and soul and sweat into what goes into that bag. And we're very proud of what goes into that bag.
Well, you have beautiful bags. I don't know who designed them, but they are very pretty. I know Samantha, when she worked there, mm-hmm, you took her through the plant, mm-hmm, and then asked her to put the strip on to seal it, the little string.
Sewing it on.
Yeah, mm-hmm, and she said, that's a little harder than you think.
You know, and it is, everybody loves the mill tour. We went away from that for a long time, but we went back. We did a group from Auburn. Angie keeps bringing these Auburn people in.
I'm sorry.
It was like 32 people. And we did a mill tour and show. And that's what everybody loves to see, because it's where the action is. It's where the bags are filled. Mm-hmm. It's where they're folded and sewn. And when you're doing 20 bags a minute, that guy, it becomes...
He's hustling.
Yeah.
20 bags a minute.
20 bags a minute.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. So tours, I didn't know that you were going to do those again. So tell me a little bit about that.
So... it's just important for transparency reasons. I mean, a lot of times you're worrying about insurance, and I think that was some of the things that made us go away from it. But I like everybody to know who wants to know how a feed mill mm-hmm. works, how our feed mill works. So we have a certain route we bring them, but they pretty much get to see everything. And we can't let them put their hands on anything from liability standpoint. But when they get to the bag sewer, it's just when they leave there, I think Angie can speak to how the students from Auburn felt.
They loved it. You know, we did a little pre-presentation upstairs and then took them right as where ingredients arrive, what we do with those ingredients when they arrive, and then how they get integrated into the mill. And so that's about the only time they can see what's happening. We can show them the grain cleaner. We can show them where the ingredients come in, but then they can't see anything really until it gets bagged. And so for them to see what's coming out, you know, is pretty exciting. Yeah. They got to see the pellet mill. You know, we opened the door of the pellet mill so they could see how the pellets get made. And but they really enjoyed that because they've not had that before.
Super. Well, I think it's amazing that we have our own feed mill here in town. It's been here for a long time. That's why we're the horse capital mm-hmm. of the world. And appreciate you guys working so very hard and keeping it active and supporting the community as well, because I see you supporting several of the venues here that mm-hmm. with hits and riders and WEC and all different areas.
Well, you know, we're about to, this year, next month, we celebrate our 90th anniversary.
Awesome.
And so we do a good job of giving back to our community. We're very active in our community, and we make 28 different feeds. So we say a feed for every need. And, you know, our wellness line is a remarkable line. And it's something that everybody else is copying. And that for being a regional feed mill right here in Ocala, Florida, for, you know, to be copied, that's probably the greatest compliment we can get.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, it speaks to the ownership of mm-hmm. what they allow us to do, because it's third-generation owner, Greg Branch and his family, and I think we've earned his confidence, and he exudes that mm-hmm. and lets us do what we do best, and that's make the world's best equine feed.
And that's what the truck said. I really appreciate you guys coming out. Hopefully people will maybe ring you up and see about doing a tour with a group of people. See?
We'd love that.
Okay. Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks to David and Angie for joining us today. And we look forward to being with you once again next month, right here on Discover Ocala, presented by Showcase Properties of Central Florida.
Discover Ocala is presented by Showcase Properties of Central Florida. As an independent brokerage firm for over two decades, Showcase Properties has helped customers throughout Central Florida achieve their real estate goals. Showcase Realtors offer expertise in a variety of property types and price points, and their services go beyond just buying and selling. Visit ShowcaseOcala.com to connect with a dedicated local realtor and start your unique real estate journey today. We also want to thank you, the listener, for taking time to discover Ocala with us. We hope you enjoyed this month's episode. And if you did, please consider leaving us a review or rating wherever you're listening, or even telling a friend about us. If you have any questions on other organizations, individuals, or events you'd like to see covered in future episodes, you can get in touch with us directly at discoverocala@showcaseocala.com. See you next month.